A Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Inner Community Peace and Justice Center. This article, called The Military, appeared in the winter 2020 issue on the military. In his recent visit to the Peace Memorial at Hiroshima, Pope Francis stated, "In a world where millions of children and families live in inhumane conditions, the money that is squandered and the fortunes made through the manufacture, upgrading, maintenance, and sale of ever more destructive weapons are an affront crying out to heaven." It is clear, as the Pope points out, that war and preparations for war take a toll, not only in terms of the casualties of war, but also in opportunities lost. Sovereign nations surely have the right to defend themselves, but our desire for safety and security should never disregard the value of human life. History reveals to us the sober reality of the deep wounds of warfare on service personnel, combatants, veterans and their families, and innocent civilians. In addition to physical injuries and death, the wounds of warfare cut deep, and lasting effects in the form of post-traumatic stress and moral injury are the spiritual, psychological, and emotional scar tissue of veterans and victims of war. In this issue of A Matter of Spirit, we examine the cost of warfare on society at large, from combatants to civilians. We look at the historical context of the military-industrial complex and take a look at the economic cost of warfare and the connection to cycles of poverty. We also consider how our faith calls us to lives of peace. May this issue bring you inspiration to seek ways to turn our swords into plowshares. The Endless Cycle by Audrey Hudgens, Ph.D. Poverty and conflict are locked in a vicious reinforcing cycle. It's many dimensions of poverty. Globally, income poverty, social and economic inequality, and deprivations in such areas as freedom of speech and political rights can ignite war, which in turn can limit access to basic rights such as safety, security, education, and health, as institutions and infrastructure erode in the face of protracted conflict. Examples of the perpetuating cycle abound, that is, civil wars in El Salvador and Nicaragua, ethnic cleansing in Bosnia and Darfur, and the endless violence in Afghanistan and Iraq in more recent years. For 10% of the world's population, 800 million people, who live in extreme poverty, the way out of poverty trap is unclear. What is certain is that the solutions must address issues far beyond income. As the World Bank's World Development Report suggests, violence has become the primary cause of poverty. In other words, the poverty trap has been eclipsed by the violence trap. Conflict, be it civil war, ethnic conflict, or organized crime, and bad governance, combine to perpetuate the cycle of poverty. Peaceful countries, on the other hand, are more likely to move out of poverty. Consistent with Catholic social teaching, this should call us to action to advocate for an end to wars around the globe, the restoration of good governance, and most importantly, the wherewithal to remain committed over the long term. Research suggests that the most successful countries took an average of 27 years to bring corruption down to acceptable levels. At home in the United States, the picture is equally complicated. Multiple overlapping deprivations contribute to a perpetual cycle of poverty. Income poverty, the measure the federal government uses to define poverty, ignores a host of chronic challenges, including addiction, homelessness, hunger, disabilities, and illness that affect one's capacity to survive and thrive. Obstacles such as unstable housing, unreliable childcare, lack of education, criminal records, mental and physical health problems can often be traced to the effects of social institutions and structures that oppress the most marginalized in our society. The resulting structural violence can tie families to an intergenerational cycle of poverty. An oft-cited study finds that a key predictor of military service is income. As family income decreases, the likelihood of serving in the military increases. For the impoverished, military provides a path towards stability by expanding opportunities. But the effects of multiple overlapping deprivations may limit one's chances of qualifying. The most recent estimates indicate that only 29% of people between 17 and 24 years old are mentally, morally, and physically qualified for military service. A RAND study finds that U.S. Army junior enlisted service members join for family, institutional, and occupational reasons. Soldiers cite a call to serve and an awareness of the honor associated with service, but also join for adventure, benefits, and pay. TEAMS, one of the many acronyms used by the military, lays out the primary reasons for enlisting: training, education, adventure, money, and service to country. While serving, soldiers may face similar challenges to the ones they believe they were leaving behind. More than half of children in Department of Defense-run schools qualify for free or reduced-price lunches, an indication that families struggle to make ends meet. While most members of the military come from middle-class neighborhoods, the fact remains that military veterans can face challenges with government benefits, medical care, and stable housing after their term of service ends. The visible and invisible wounds of war, amputation, other physical injuries, post-traumatic stress disorder, and major depression can lead to homelessness, food insecurity, addiction, other illnesses, and/or involvement in the legal system. Although veterans have a lower overall poverty rate than other Americans, 6.9% versus 14.4%, the veteran poverty rate is rising, according to the Department of Veteran Affairs, VA. Nearly 1.5 million veterans live in poverty in the United States, and the poverty rate for veterans between 18 and 34 years old is higher than all other age groups. Thus, veterans of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq disproportionately suffer the consequences. Many of these veterans don't understand their post-separation benefits through the VA, or they choose not to seek such assistance. Catholic social teaching again provides clarity on this complex situation. As Pope Francis has stated, in imitation of our Master, we Christians are called to confront the poverty of our brothers and sisters, to touch it, to make it our own, and to take practical steps to alleviate it. We are called to demonstrate compassion for those who have suffered the long lingering effects of war. Our accompaniment of a veteran through the process of obtaining a service-connected disability SCD rating can break the cycle. The poverty rate for disabled veterans with SCD is nearly 18% lower than that for a disabled non-veteran. Such action is particularly urgent in areas such as the Pacific Northwest and the southeastern U.S., where veteran poverty rates are higher than in the rest of the nation. Volunteering at a VA hospital is another way to take action, as is helping to educate employers about the protected status of veterans. And as we advocate for less funding of the military-industrial complex, we must also push for sustaining or increasing veteran support services due to the consequences of war and poverty. Contacting our elected officials in support of legislation is crucial. For example, House Resolution 95, the Homeless Veteran Families Act, is presently under consideration in the U.S. Senate. If passed, homeless veterans with minor dependents would have access to expanded services. Our actions in support of human dignity can break the endless cycles of poverty and conflict. The author, Dr. Audrey Hodgkin, served in the U.S. Army for 20 years and is a faculty member at Seattle University, teaching courses on poverty, migration, security, leadership, and community engagement. Moral Injury and Its Effect on Returning Warriors by Colonel Roy Harrington, USAR, retired. While assigned to the Pentagon from 2005 to 2008, serving in the section of the Army Operations Center that tracks every single soldier's death and funeral right up to the day of burial, I began to ponder what the trauma of war was doing to our warriors. The impact of war was clear in the increasing number of warrior suicides, and I discern that there was more than just post-traumatic stress at work here. Trying to understand more about what our war does to warriors, I picked up a copy of Methodist theologian Walter Wink's 1998 book entitled The Powers That Be. Let me share a short passage that describes this myth of redemptive violence in its simplest form. He quotes, "Few cartoons have run longer or been more influential than Popeye and Bluto. In a typical segment, Bluto abducts a screaming and kicking Olive Oil, Popeye's girlfriend. When Popeye attempts to rescue her, the massive Bluto beats his diminutive opponent to a pulp, while Olive Oil helplessly wrings her hands. At the last moment, as our hero oozes to the floor, and Bluto is trying, in effect, to rape Olive Oil, a can of spinach pops from Popeye's pocket and spills into his mouth. Transformed by this gracious infusion of power, he easily demolishes the villain and rescues his beloved. The format never varies. Neither party ever gains any insight or learns from these encounters. They never sit down and discuss their differences. Repeated defeats do not teach Bluto to honor Olive Oil's humanity, and repeated pummels do not teach Popeye to swallow his spinach before the fight." Unquote. This simple description of one of my childhood heroes, Popeye, really hit me hard. I had been raised all my life to admire the hero who uses justified force to take down the bad guys, and who always won without any apparent harm to himself. Later, I would see that the same thing in TV shows like Combat that depicted World War II soldiers doing heroic things without much great hazard or damage to their bodies and souls. Our young people today experience the same myth in many violent warfighting online games. But now, the true impact of war and its inherent violence on our warriors is clearer to me than ever. Reflecting on Wink's concept of this myth of redemptive violence, I know that there are times when we must send our warriors into harm's way, and that they must use force to defend our nation and the lives of those who can't defend themselves. But there is nothing redemptive or life-giving in the experience of using force or violence, even when it's clearly justified. We who have sent them into harm's way must be ready to help them deal with all the effects that war can have on our warriors. We have a responsibility to help them fully recover from all their injuries, including post-traumatic stress, moral injury, and military sexual trauma. Post-traumatic stress is a normal fear response to traumatic events in our lives. According to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, 7-8% of the general population will experience post-traumatic stress in their lifetime from events like accidents, natural disasters, and violent crime. But moral injury, whose incident rate among combat warriors is not fully researched, is a wound of the soul. It is felt as a deep soul wound when warriors participate in, fail to prevent, or witness events that are in violation of their deeply held moral beliefs. Research from the Journal of Neuropsychiatry, 2019, reports that 25-34% of warriors suffer from moral injury in addition to experiencing post-traumatic stress. Dr. Brett Litz, a clinical psychologist, used the term moral injury in a paper published in the Clinical Psychology Review in 2009. Dr. Litz describes a moral injury experience as the extreme distress brought about by perpetrating, failing to prevent, bearing witness, or learning about acts that transgress deeply held moral beliefs and expectations. A few examples of these events, including taking the life of a civilian believed to be an insurgent, unexpectedly seeing human remains, or seeing wounded women or children whom warriors are unable to help. Moral injury can be a significant contributing factor in depression, addiction, and violent behavior, including domestic violence and suicide. When warriors can't forgive themselves for what they have done or have observed, they can't share their trauma with those they love for fear of being labeled immoral or worse, and the symptoms of moral injury begin to appear. In addition to post-traumatic stress and moral injury, some significant percentage of both female and male warriors are suffering from military sexual trauma. Among women, the number may be as high as 40-50%, and among men, 5-10%. But this trauma is seldom reported and even more rarely prosecuted. Sexual assault is never acceptable and must be condemned and steps taken to prevent it at every level of command in the military. with women now serving in every military specialty, including in frontline combat units, this is a most significant issue for the future. Most of all, we need to make it safe and acceptable for victims of military sexual trauma to come forward to report the assault and seek help for their trauma. This is true throughout the church and our society. We need safe places in our communities where returning warriors can come together by themselves to share their stories of trauma and pain. They need to feel welcomed without fear of being judged or criticized in any way. We can offer them pastoral and sacramental reconciliation, both individually and communally, but only when they are ready. Finally, we need to be ready to help them in every way possible to find jobs, homes, education, and most importantly, to fully reintegrate back into their families and our communities. To quote retired Army chaplain and Vietnam veteran Colonel Herman Kaiser, Jr., when it comes to returning warriors, we must, he says, love them with non-judgmental warmth and positive regard as image bearers of God. Allow them to realize you are willing to wait with empathy for them until such a time as they will allow you into their struggle for forgiveness and absolution. Give them time to again find joy in their hearts. Unquote. One great resource for healing for these invisible wounds of war is the Reboot Combat Recovery Course, a 12-week faith-based journey to healing and growth. For more information about courses near you, can be found at www.rebootrecovery.com. Colonel Roy Harrington, a cradled Catholic educated in Catholic schools, resides in Allen, Washington. Roy is a graduate of the University of Washington and the MPA program at Seattle University. He served in the Army Reserve for 30 years and in public transit operations and emergency management for 32 years. He is available to visit faith communities and veterans groups who want to learn more about the invisible wounds of war, including moral injury, post-traumatic stress, and military sexual trauma.